You know, when you greet somebody, at least in Texas, when you greet somebody, what do you say? How you doing? Howdy. How are you? How many of us really want to know the answer to that question? How are you? Went to a Sunday school conference a few years back, and of course everybody's getting, this is an associational thing, so we all kind of knew each other. And so, you know, all up and down the hallways, you're saying, how are you? How are you? Most of us are wiping the sleep from our eyes, wishing we had had another donut and some more Dr. Pepper before we had to show up for this thing. But then there's this one guy, big guy, coming down the hall and in and out of all the different classrooms. All morning, I heard him say the same thing. People would say, how are you? And this big guy would say, the Lord is blessing, so I'm not stressing. And I thought, the Lord is blessing, so I'm not stressing. I thought, man, that's a pretty good way of looking at life. The Lord is blessing. How many of you know the Lord has blessed you at some point in your life? How many of you have been blessed this past week in some way by the Lord? The Lord is blessing. What are we doing stressing? That's exactly what Jesus addressed in the next part of the Sermon on the Mount. As we've been looking through life in the kingdom, he has been describing for us the kingdom of God in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want us to look at the next section this morning, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin at verse 25. Jesus gives us four reasons not to worry. How many of you just worried when you heard me say something about worrying? Some of us are worryholics. Some of us worry about whether or not we're worrying too much. You know, a lot of times we say, well, that's just who I am. That's how I was born. That's what I do. I worry. And Jesus says, but you don't have to. That's self. That's one of the areas in which you want to learn to control self. A part of self-control is learning not to worry so much. Because worry says, I have to fix it. Self-control says, the Lord is blessing, so I'm not stressing. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life. He says, for this reason. For what reason? You remember what he talked about last week? Last time we looked at what he was saying in verses 19 through 24, he said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where everything can go wrong with it and it can be destroyed. No, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he says, no one can serve two masters. He'll either hate one and love the other, or hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, Jesus has just gotten through addressing materialism. He has just gotten through talking about worrying about too much stuff. And so he says, for this reason, the reason that you can't serve God and stuff, for that reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And that brings us to the first reason why we should avoid worry, and that is that worry is needless. we don't need to? Why put ourselves through that when we don't need to? He says, the birds don't worry, and they have plenty. If God's going to take care of little critters like that, imagine what he's willing to do for you. They learn to depend on their Creator. But look what he said in these verses. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry over these things, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Not their Father. They can't be children of God. They're just critters. They depend on their Creator. But you, as people of the kingdom, he's speaking to people of the kingdom, you, as children of God, know him more than a creator. You know him as your Father. If a creator will take care of a bird, imagine what a father will do for his child. You see, worry is needless. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't do anything. Elizabeth Cheney wrote a verse called Overheard in an Orchard. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, Friend, I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. I wonder if the critters of the world could think and talk, would they look at us and say, man, I wish they had what we have? The peace to rest, knowing that God is in charge, knowing that they don't have to worry and fret. Worry is needless because God is in charge. The Lord is blessing. So we don't have to be stressing. The second reason to avoid worry is that worry is futile. Not only is it needless, but it's pointless. It doesn't do any good. Look at verse 27. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? Which of you can worry enough to add to your life? How much worry does it take to get an extra day? Jesus says, worrying doesn't help. It's futile. You don't have the power to worry up more abundance in your life. It doesn't work. So why do we do it? You know, a survey was conducted not long ago about the things that we worry about. And this survey discovered that 40% of what we worry about never happens. 40% never happens. 30% has already happened, and worrying won't change it. 12% of what we worry about is not really our business to worry about. It's somebody else's business, really. 10% of what we worry about is sickness, illness. And most of that we can't do anything about anyway. It's beyond our control. They discovered that 8% of what we worry about is stuff that we actually have some influence over. Worry is basically futile. It doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't add a cubit to our life, as he says. Mark Twain put it pretty well. I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them have never happened. Most of the troubles and the worries that haunt us never really happen. Swedish proverb got it right also. The Swedish proverb says, worry gives a small thing a big shadow. Have you experienced that before? You worry over this thing, worry over this thing, worry over this thing, and then once you finally have to face it and address it, it turns out, oh, it was no big deal after all. Worry gives a small thing a big shadow. In 1968, Paul McCartney wrote a song for John Lennon's son in which he said, and any time you feel the pain, hey Jude, remain. Don't carry the world upon your shoulders. For well you know that's a fool who plays it cool by making his world a little colder. Nah, 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 nah. Don't carry the world upon your shoulders. Apparently, John Lennon and his first wife were going through a divorce, and the little one they called Jules. And so that song really was written to little Jules, but Jules was hard to sing, and so they changed it to Jude. Hey, little Jude, don't worry, don't carry the world on your shoulders. Giving the little one advice, you can't solve this problem. Just relax. Don't worry. Calm down. Because worry is futile. The third reason that we can avoid worry is because worry is faithless. It's faithless. And by the way, that is a real word. I looked it up to make sure. Verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? When we worry, we become people of little faith. He says, if God is going to take care of plants, don't you think he's going to take care of you? Where's your faith? Be strong and courageous. When we worry, we believe more in our problems than we do in God's promises. Rick Warren says, the more you pray, the less you panic. The more you worship, the less you worry. Max Lucado says it well also. No one can pray and worry at the same time. Worry is faithless. Worry is, I've got a problem. I've got to fix it on my own. Faith says, there's something in my life that's not right, and I can trust God with that thing. I can depend on Him to take care. If you worry, you can't trust. And if you trust, you can't worry. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8 puts it this way, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You've had nights where you laid down, but there was no peace. Hard to sleep. The psalmist says, I've learned that I can lie down and sleep in peace. Because when the Lord is blessing, I'm not stressing. The fourth reason why we can avoid worry is because worry is worldly. The whole Sermon on the Mount is based on a look at this new kingdom. And he says, when you worry, you're not living like people of the kingdom. You worry, you're living like people of the world. You're not living like people of God. You're living like people without God. Verse 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. At that point, that word Gentiles would have been used to say those outside the kingdom, those not a part of God's people. For with all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Your Father, he says, reminding them that they're children of the King, living in the kingdom. He says, you're different from the world. The world will worry. But you can trust. Worry is worldly in that way. Psalm 37 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. That's who you used to be. But lay that aside. Put that behind you. Instead, do not fret. It only causes harm. Worry doesn't help. It's a worldly kind of thing. You and I are different people. We should live differently. About 400 years before the Beatles recorded Hey Jude, Martin Luther wrote A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, in which he declared, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. Now hear that. God has willed, the sovereign God of the universe has willed that his truth will triumph through us. Why then should we worry? Those are four reasons to avoid worry. And with those four reasons in mind, I want to show you one more thing. I want to show you our proper priorities. We want to lay aside the temptations, the tendencies to worry. And instead, let's consider our proper priorities. And we start at verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He has just said the Gentiles seek after those things. The Gentiles are seeking after, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? He says that's what the world is seeking after, but you seek after his kingdom instead. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When he says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that word shows continuous action, and so it means keep on seeking. He's not just talking about getting saved. He's talking about a way of life, a mindset, a priority. Keep on seeking the kingdom of God. Keep on seeking his righteousness, longing for it, trying to be like him, trying to live the kingdom life. When we seek his kingdom, what we're seeking is his rule in our life. We're seeking that he would be in charge. We seek his righteousness. That's our goal, to become like him. In other words, he says, you concentrate on spiritual things, and let me take care of the physical stuff. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I can trust in him for these things. Then why would I worry? Again in verse 34 it says, Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Corrie ten Boom said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." We think if we worry enough about tomorrow, we can somehow make things better. But it doesn't change tomorrow. All it does is sap us of our strength today. Gordon MacDonald said, "No man ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear." And so, therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Turn to somebody close to you and say, "The Lord is blessing, so I'm not stressing." Isaiah 26, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Wouldn't that be nice to go through life, even on Mondays, to go through life in perfect peace? "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Seek first his kingdom, his mind is stayed on you. Instead of looking at self and circumstance and living by worry, we can trust, live by faith, and be at peace.